gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad emotion. I need a chocolate cake with
S-L-A-N-G. Thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth. Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man. That's what we're here for. Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Hello and welcome to week 7 of the fantasy season. Our league's midway point to the playoffs, and things are really starting to shape up. The race for a top 6 finish is tightening. We might already have one team locked in for a 12th place finish as well. We've got a great pod for you today. We'll have Duncan, Team Double Decker and Fries, on for the first time this season, as well as Brandon, Team TCBY Hilton. We're going to be going over all the important players and matchups for Week 7. Yes, we all know the hit song playing here. It's the hot new single off DFI's second album, Masquerade. It's the league's resident rock star. It's Duncan. Duncan, welcome to the pod. How's it going?
It's going well, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
So week 7 here, your team Double Deckers and Fries. You're in a tie for 7th at 2-4. And you haven't really gotten a great response from your team when the draft happened. You've taken a beating here on the pod through 7 episodes, especially after trading away Antonio Brown. What do you have to say to the haters and losers, to which there are many, about your team here?
Unfortunately, a lot of them are right. I've come to defend myself on the trade, but as far as the hate from the draft, pretty much all the predictions are right. So I just got to own that my draft, the risks I took, none of them panned out, absolutely zero. And then the one thing I did well, I had to give up. So
right,
it's been a little brutal, but it's been fun listening to Fod. I have to say, I've laughed quite a bit, and then there's some days it's like I really gotta think ahead on the days that I'm going to listen to the pod, or if I'm like driving home and it's been a long day from work, it's like I probably shouldn't listen to the pod because it's probably just gonna make my day a lot worse.
All right, well, at least you got the right mindset about it, so you're trying to have some fun, so that's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin our matchups this week with Jordan, Team Cooper Cup of Noodles, taking on Andrew, currently Team Danny Samandola. The FP scale has this one as a 7-8 matchup with scores of 89 and 86 for Jordan and Andrew, respectively. Jordan's team took a big loss last week to my team, but the bright spots of Deshaun Watson, Melvin Gordon, really shown through. Losing Stephon Diggs last week, obviously a big factor in his loss. Andrew at 2-4 put up a 102 spot against Fronik's team, leaving only 42 points on his bench this week, half from a revitalized Adrian Peterson, who I of course said would not have a good week. I am 0-2 on my Brocks of the week there. No Texans for either team in this one. They're on bye, the only players on bye in this matchup. What are you seeing in it, Duncan?
I gotta say, I like Jordan's team a lot more. I feel like, especially without Aaron Rodgers, that pretty much depletes Andrew's wide receiver core. Obviously, Amendola is hit or miss, give and take a week, but he hasn't put up over 13 points, and that was with 42 yards. He just happened to get in the end zone. So I think jumping straight there, Aaron Rodgers being out obviously hurts him a lot. As you can see last week, he only put up 9 points. I mean, he got 6 targets, 60 yards, so it's not bad numbers per se. But with this streaky as the Panthers have been, I just don't see – I mean, obviously they've been on a tear as of late, but I just don't see his wide receivers putting up the numbers he's going to need to beat Jordan with the likes of, like, A.J. Green and Stephon Diggs. Granted, Stephon Diggs are on Jordan's side, that is.
Yeah.
With the potential, I guess, the ceiling that they have. So I hate saying that I like Jordan's QB matchup because Jameis Winston, obviously, we've all over the years talked about how we can't stand him. But I think, I mean, they've been playing from behind constantly, and as a result, they're just putting up points. So with the matchup at Buffalo, while it's away, teams have been putting up pretty big numbers on them. So, yeah, I like Jordan for sure.
I actually disagree. Jordan has got some terrible opponent rankings. His 7 of 10 are in, like, the top 10 fantasy opponents, including going up against the number 1 run defense in Denver and then the number 1 pass defense with Keenan Allen going up against – or A.J. Green going up against Pittsburgh as well. I mean, his defense is kicker – are 2 of the Greens, and then Davante Adams as well. But I'm unsure of who's going to win over Brett Hundley's heart at receiver for the Packers, because between Davante, Jordy, and Randall, I really feel like Jordy Nelson is going to be the guy who ends up getting a lot of the targets, and I think that's advantage to Andrew in this one. It would certainly be a big upset, and I think it's going to happen, depending on a lot of things. But yeah, Jordan's got some... I mean, Jameis against Buffalo's defense is really good. Denver's run defense, I think, is going to have a huge bounce back week. Keenan Allen against the Denver secondary as well. So, I mean, only a couple bright spots there that I think they're going to come back and bite them in the butt.
Yeah, I guess that is a good point. I'm actually looking now at Andrews, and even at tight end, he's got Delanie Walker at Cleveland too. Not that says a whole lot, but.
No,
as far as tight ends against Cleveland, they've been consistently putting up double digits.
Yeah, and Andrew's got some tough ones as well, but they're like middle-of-the-road matchups. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin against Chicago's defense, I think Chicago's like top 15, they're 17th. Like, that's not an incredibly tough defense that you should be worried about, or Danny Amendola against the Falcons at 11. Like, yeah, they're like fantasy-wise, like middle-of-the-road are a lot better than 1-8 or whatever that Jordan's going up against. And I think that's going to give him the slight edge as well. So I'm taking Andrew in the upset here.
Interesting.
Yeah. Next one, it's a 4-5 Fantasy Pro matchup between Nick Street Taco Charlton and Jared Cooks. It's a tight 92-91 FP score, respectively, for these pair of 3-3 teams this week. Jared Cook is coming off of a week high 150, and Frohnik got a win as well at 126. A big missing piece in both of these matchups are no line players, as they will be on bye, and the projections have Jared continuing his comeback season favored by 5. What say you on this one, Duncan?
Yeah, the last week blew me away. So I'm actually kind of shocked. I'm like looking at just what ESPN's got here, and they've got most of the matchups at receiver skewed towards Frohnik, actually, which I think is interesting. They've got like Doug Baldwin being better than like Jarvis Landry, which I just don't understand. The Seahawks offense has been pretty deplorable this year. So I don't know why I keep jumping to wide receivers first, but that's where my eyes are going.
That's fine. There are three of them.
Huh?
I said there are 3 of them per team, so it's kind of like the big important piece.
This is true. But obviously Larry Fitzgerald's kind of having a year, but...
a fucking incredible year.
Yeah, it's blowing my mind, actually. Like, I mean, obviously he's like an all-time great, but at his age, putting up these numbers and like essentially carrying that offense, I mean, obviously they've got Adrian Peterson now, and who knows, we'll discuss, I guess, him later, but 34 years old and still like putting up these numbers is just absolutely insane to me.
This is like when Andrew had Frank Gore last season, and I thought, nope, there's no way Frank Gore can like continue putting up numbers, and then he has a crazy year. Like, this is the kind of player I'd expect Andrew to have on his team to have an incredible year and just be like, of course, yeah. It's fucking Andrew. Of course, like, Larry Fitzgerald is going to go off. I guess this year it's just like, of course. Oh, yeah, Fronik ends up with Larry Fitzgerald. Of course he's going to be the number three receiver through 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's like my wishful thinking with Marshawn. I'm like 31 years old. There's like the whole thing, you know, of course, if they go over 30, it's pretty much it. But like, you know, in the whole, just like all the hype around it, and like him going back to his hometown for a year, I was like, oh, well, this would totally be the sleeper. And I was like, yeah, I mean, he's maybe going to run it 100 times. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, now he's just completely fallen off.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyways, as far as that goes, like, I don't know. I still like Jared's team. And I think last week has just, you know, totally skewed my view. But like, I just, everybody went off.
Yeah.
And it's just hard. Like, I don't know. You just can't get that out of your head. I mean, he almost beat Mike by 100 points.
Right.
Like,
I mean, Mike had an incredibly, like, bad week. But yeah, if he'd played Scott last week, he would have beat him by 100.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And yeah, sorry, Mike, but that was just a trash performance. And like, don't get me wrong, I totally appreciate trash performances, as that got me a win last week. Thanks, Scott. But yeah, I don't know. I just have in my head, like, Le'Veon Bell going off for 179 yards and a touchdown. Like, Marcus's return, I guess, didn't put up massive numbers, but I mean, still 300 yards.
Jeez.
And he was on the low end of everything. You know, when your quarterback's the one that put up, like, close to the least amount of points on your team, I mean, you can't really complain. That said, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, his team is, forget having players that, like, week to week could boom or bust. Like, his team can boom or bust. He went from 77 to 150. It's like all of his players get together, like, they're on some, like, group chat. They're like, are we going off for Jared this week, or are we going to, like, chill out and, like, take it easy? And last week, they're like, no, we're going off. And I think they do it again. Like, he's got some pretty favorable matchups. Unsure about Randall Cobb without Aaron Rodgers. I think that definitely I think Cobb is the guy who is not put up great numbers so far this year, and so he's definitely going to take another hit down. Gronk probably going to have a big week against my Falcons. And Aaron Jones, I think, is an interesting play at flex. Obviously, he'd like to rather have Amir Abdullah in there. But I think it's a decent play, because I think the run game, the Packers are going to have to lean on it. So, yeah, I like Jared this week in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, I was actually looking at the running backs. I mean, there's nobody that you're going to put in. I mean, he's only got CJ Procise and Abdullah, so obviously Abdullah's the choice. Procise, I doubt he puts up any points. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. But looking at it, too, I don't know. I just and call me out here if I'm just, you know, talking out my ass, but with like Sterling Shepard, I don't see the Giants doing anything. I mean, obviously they need some weapon, but I don't think that Sterling Shepard's the answer to their offense.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's going to be a lot of like stuff that they're going to be relying on the backfield. Who picked up Darqua? It was Tim, right?
I think Tim got him, yeah.
Dude, how much did he pay? Because I threw 30 at that, and I thought I was being absurd by doing that, because I was just like, you know, I need to get him. But obviously, I got beat out.
Yeah, Tim also put down 30. You had, I think it was just at that point, it was the waiver order, I think is just the reason. Yeah, because when you guys both bid the same amount, it just goes to the waiver wire order. So that would be the reason, yeah.
That's so upsetting.
That's a bummer.
I put down 30. I was like, I'm going to get heat for this, because I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to throw way too much money. And then I lost them. When I woke up this morning and saw that I didn't have them, I literally like screamed.
Yeah. So
that's, wow.
That's kind of a bummer for you. I didn't realize that you had the unsuccessful bid in there. Yeah. And then Andrew bid $5 as well. So that's obviously not going to work out.
Yeah. I mean, I picked up Juju Smith for zero.
Right.
Like,
there you go.
But I don't want to put him in there. Dang, that's really aggravating. What are the chances of that? I don't even know. I don't want to think about it. Anyways, all right. What do we got next?
Yeah, next up, our third and final matchup of the day before segments, we have Dunkin' Double Decker and Fries taking on Tim Chick-fil-A J Green Burrito. I guess it's your guys' second matchup of the week after the waiver wire battle. But it's a tight FP matchup here, 9th versus 11th. Dunkin', you come in with an 85.6. Tim just slightly below at an 85.2. Both of you guys are 2-4 and coming off wins. So, Dunkin', it's all you. Just what are your thoughts on the matchup here?
I mean, I'm bummed that I'm slated as down 2, but I also am not comfortable changing anything in my lineup. I even thought about, like, I think they have Smallwood projected at, like, 9, and I almost was like, oh, I'll put him in, but I mean, that means nothing. He literally might not even play, and he doesn't play till Monday.
Right.
I don't know. I feel pretty good this week. I was excited about Decker and Mariota last week. Like, Mariota coming back, I feel like they finally established some of that chemistry I thought that they were going to have at the beginning of the season. It's just a veteran option. I'm hoping that continues. Obviously, that's not really something to bank on. But I feel good about my wide receiving core in the matchups that we've got this week. I mean, Decker at Cleveland. Granted, Deshaun's at Buffalo, so I might take that back, actually. But then Chris Hogan at Atlanta. I know Hogan didn't put up much last week, but he was targeted. All the targets were deep targets, and he got targeted 4 times. I was actually watching that game. And so clearly Brady's looking at him. It was just a couple overthrows, and he was open. So I think he's going to kind of be back to form this next week. But I'm really nervous, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's going to be real close. And I feel like if I lose before going 500, my season's over because there's not that many weeks left.
Right.
So I'm just banking on week by week until playoff decision time. But I don't know. I like his running backs a lot better. It's no secret that we've gone over this multiple times, but that my running back situation is pretty dire. In the way that Kamara's been playing on New Orleans, I think he could have another big week. And I don't see either of my running backs matching it. So I think that could actually be the key there, is how much damage Tim's running backs do.
Sure.
And then I think he had a decent pickup in C.A.J. Anderson. I actually don't know how I feel about that trade that he had with Pitt, but we can save that for the segments later too.
Sure.
And Kirk Cousins is kind of the wild card. I don't know. He's been putting up really impressive numbers, and Brady has been doing the opposite of some weeks he goes big, and then the past 2 weeks puts up a respective 12 and 16. So, and I mean, he didn't even have some of those points till the end of the game either. So, I don't know. I'm counting on Brady and Hogan to get back on track this week. I think if they do, I have a really good shot. But if not, I think the Tim's running backs are going to decide it. So if Kamara and DeMarco show up, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I actually completely forgot when I was doing my write-ups that Darkwa got picked up by Tim. And now looking at his lineup, I thought it was kind of a risky play playing Kamara and Anderson at flex. I probably would have swapped them. Now I would think that, and we'll learn more about what's going on exactly with the Broncos when we talk to Brandon later, but I think I would almost take the risk of running Darkwa in at like a flex over CJ, just because like he's going to get a lot of carries. I know Seattle's like front seven is really tough and they're 7th against running backs, but I mean, the Giants have no weapons to go with.
Right.
So if they're going to go with a guy who took down Denver's defense last week, you know, why not just run him out again at home? Kamara, like, is a decent play this week. I just don't know if he's going to be consistently worth an RB2 or even a flex spot as the weeks go on. I've actually got some incredible stats here, some analysis on Chris Hogan and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
So here,
and Brandon Cook,
Brandon Cooks, the other Patriots receiver, he's on.
Right.
So listen to these numbers here. Here's one line.
I was thinking Delvin Cook when you said that. Sorry.
No.
I was like,
guy.
What the hell?
Other Cooks. 41 targets, 24 receptions, 307 yards, 5 touchdowns, 86 fantasy points. Line number 2, 41 targets, 24 receptions, 472 yards, 2 touchdowns, 86 fantasy points. That is line number one, the difference with the 307 yards, 5 touchdowns, that's Hogan. 472 right. yards and 2 touchdowns is Cooks. So they are literally the exact same receiver. And when I saw that, I kind of realized that I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I kind of blasted you for trading for Hogan. I've been offered Hogan for Cooks a couple times, and I realized that at least at this point through the season, they're exactly the same output. But I'm going to stick with my guy Cooks over Hogan in the long run. I just think that it's incredible that you can have a guy that Brady is equally spreading the ball out to these two guys to like identical records or stat lines, targets and reception wise.
Yeah, that's actually insane.
Yeah, it blew my mind. It is a legit analysis. And then I guess if we're keeping up with the bowl names for matchups, this one is the literal RB2 bowl. Tevin Colvin and Alvin Kamara going at it. My pick in this one is going to be Tim. I think DeMarco and CJ are going to be the difference. I think maybe Terrell Pryor can get things together against Philadelphia. Hopefully Rashard and Marcus can get things going against the Browns as well. Some tough matchups with Decker against Cleveland's defense and Deshaun against Buffalo. So I'm going to go against your teams here, Duncan, and go with Tim.
Right on. Just to play devil advocate, I'm gonna speak out against you because seemingly that goes well in the pod. Is when people disagree, they tend to be right, even though I think deep down I agree with you.
Fair enough. So that's it for the matchups. Now we'll get to segments. What do you want to start off with here?
Yeah, I actually have one I'd like to introduce. A special segment of the week here to A, defend myself on some trades and go off a point Scott had last week. So this is shit deals I'm glad I didn't take. And so the I won't go through all of them, but I have 9 initially from Fronic. And so one thing that happened that Scott very well pointed out is when you're at on the bottom, people do not want to help you out. They're trying to kind of take advantage and get real stingy. And so obviously Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Debatable.
Who would you put above him?
I would think the debate with Julio is pretty close.
I guess I
can be swayed that it is Antonio Brown, but I mean, my heart is saying Julio.
Okay, that's fair enough. I won't ask you to argue against the feels.
That's fine. Thank you.
Yep. But anyways, back to shit deals from Fronic. This is part the subsection of shit deals I'm glad I didn't take, part one. So his initial offer to me was Golden Tate and Isaiah Crowell.
Ooh.
For Antonio Brown. I also have Antonio Brown for Golden Tate and Jerick McKinnon, which...
That's not bad.
Yeah, so not bad, especially seeing how McKinnon hit doubled. Honestly, I just looked at his stats previously, and I was like, I don't know if I want to make the jump. And this is everyone thinking that I just want to play with the Seahawks. Antonio Brown and Jordan Reed for Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin.
That's terrible, Fronic. What are you doing?
Yep. And then I had another, in his defense, then he gave me another offer. And some of this was official offers. Some of this was over Facebook. And then we had Antonio Brown, Jordan Reed for Golden Tate, Tariq Cohen, who was the add-in, and Doug Baldwin. The big thing here was giving up Antonio Brown and then having Jordan Reed asked for on top of that was just like nail in the coffin for me. I was like, there's no way I can give up the two guys on my team that can consistently put up points. Let's see. We got Antonio Brown and Jordan Reed for Isaiah Crowell, Doug Baldwin, and Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, I can see you not taking that one too.
Yeah, no way. this one's the doozy. Antonio Brown for Golden Tate and Thomas Rawls.
Oh, no.
Again, people thinking that I want Seahawk players. That was actually funny. The trade that I did take with Luke, he actually at one point was like, hey, do you want me to throw Eddie Lacy in? And I'm like, no, I don't want Eddie Lacy. So, again, shit deals, even though I took the deal with less people. But I had too many people on my bench, and I was like, I would literally just drop him. And then everyone would be like, and then I would come on the pod, and people would be like, oh, he took him because he got a Seahawk. And I'd be like, oh, God, no.
Okay, so breaking news, Duncan doesn't want all Seahawks.
No, I do not. Literally, the only reason, at the beginning of the season, I think the only Seahawk I had was the defense. I can't remember I think I picked up Paul Richardson off of waivers. I can't remember. But the only reason I have them on is because I actually consistently watch the games, and it's the only one that I can actually effectively analyze.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't know, I don't catch all the East Coast games, and so I'm just looking at stat lines. Or I'm late, and everyone is apparently paying $30 and just one up of the waiver wire on me.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so but, yeah, so shit deals, he didn't take those. Yeah, mostly bad from Fronik. I would say that there. I think the Tate and McKinnon one was probably his best offer.
Agreed.
In hindsight, knowing that McKinnon would go off, it looks like the better deal. But yeah, taking a guy who probably was a toss-up to be the starter could have ended up just as easily being a backup and an RB2 in a worse situation than Tevin Coleman, who's at least going to get the ball. I'm starting to see why you probably took the deal that you did.
Yeah, and the other one, which was another shit deal from Fronik that didn't involve Antonio Brown. Sorry, I got to wrap this up. Eric Decker for Kendall Wright and Zay Jones. Zay Jones, who I once had for 2 weeks, and I think consistently puts up between 0 and 2.2 points.
Huh. So Fronik's all over the place then.
Yeah. So okay. I have also shit deals. I'm glad I didn't take part two. And so we've got Pip, who offered up Dez Bryant and Chris Johnson.
Ooh.
For Antonio Brown. Here we go again, some more Seahawks. Luke, who offered me OBJ, Jaquizz Rodgers, and Tyler Lockett for Antonio Brown and DeSean Jackson.
Huh. Was that before OBJ broke his leg?
Yeah, that was before.
Okay.
But it's a shit deal in hindsight because I would have been absolutely screwed. And I had Jaquizz Rodgers on my bench. He literally dropped both of these players, I think. Or I think he dropped Jaquizz Rodgers and Tyler Lockett, after this deal was made. So he was literally I'm going to give him guys that he'll probably drop for his two good wideouts.
That's very much a Luke thing to do in all fantasy sports, I think, is to offer guys that are about to hit the waiver wire or that he just picked up off the waiver wire. I've done that a couple times in fantasy baseball as well, where I pick a guy up and then I use him a couple hours later in a trade that ends up going through. So I've done it before, but I've definitely never been I'm going to drop this guy. Nah, let me see if I can just turn him into, cash for gold or something like that.
Yeah. And in his defense, it's might as well try. If someone is just not paying attention and presses accept or for whatever reason thinks it's a good idea and you're going to drop him, it's might as well try. But dude, I was so mad. But obviously he got Antonio Brown out of me in the end, so can't really hate on he's maybe that's why I took it. Maybe this guy psyched me out just weeks ahead of time. I'm gonna offer him really shit deals, and then eventually when I offer him something half decent, he's just gonna bite.
He did that with me in baseball this year. It's not the trade you're all thinking of, but I gave up Noah Syndergaard. I think I woke up every single morning for probably 7 out of 8 or 9 days in a row with a notification on my phone, Luke Singsink has offered to trade for Noah Syndergaard. DeGrom or something DeGrom. And for a week, it was just no, not that guy, not that guy, not that guy. And we were talking it out, and it was just no. And finally, it was just fine, I'll do it. Just stop, please.
Please stop messaging me. Yeah. So the point of this segment is to just further nail in Scott's point of people are vicious. And there was multiple offers actually that are when people were asking for Antonio Brown, where I'd be like, you got like my running back suck. You got to give me a starting running back. And no one wanted to give me a starter. Everyone was like, nah, that would hurt my depth. I'm like, well, no shit. Losing Antonio Brown hurts my depth.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And so I think at one point when I pitched to Fronick was Antonio Brown for LeSean McCoy and Larry Fitzgerald. Or Golden Tate, and my thoughts being I need a wide receiver to somewhat fill the gap when I lose my best wide out.
Right.
And then I also offered him Antonio Brown and Jordan Reed for LeSean McCoy, Tariq Cohen, and Golden Tate.
If I was Fronick, I probably would have felt very tempted to sell high on Fitzgerald. Because you know the production you're gonna get out of Antonio Brown. You don't know if Fitzgerald is gonna keep that up. Like losing McCoy is a big hit at running back, but like as we've seen again, hindsight 2020, like guys are gonna go down and you can like pull a starter out of your ass off the waiver wire to like fill in for a couple weeks or make another trade or whatever. So that would have been a tough one.
I honestly thought I was gonna get that when I offered it up because I really wanted Shady. I was like, I just want consistency. I'll dive into some analysis later, but I thought when I offered that and then he shut it down, I was like, I mean, I totally get it. Like, I'm not blaming him by any means, but I really thought I was going to get that one. But to round out shit deals, I'm glad I didn't take part two. I'm going to go ahead and actually I might rescind one, but I have shit from Kamish. from you, you offered me Derrick Henry for Adam Thielen, which now looking back, I'm like, maybe that wasn't as bad because Derrick Henry, I mean, he had a garbage time touchdown, but he's not looking bad.
Yeah.
And I dropped Adam Thielen. and then you offered me Alex Smith and Andrew Luck for Tom Brady.
Yes, I did.
So
yeah, that one I canceled on my own because I realized that was a stupid trade. Like, why even let that go through? And then I was like, oh boy, am I really gonna want to have to root for Tom Brady in like 3 weeks when he plays the Patriots? And I was I can't do that. So yeah, that was bad on my part.
No, I'm glad your conscience got the best of you.
That is my
segment that I'd like to introduce. Thank you for humoring me.
No, that was a very good segment. I'm glad that we got some more insight onto what was going through your mind with that trade.
Right on.
I've got a Brock of the Week I would like to nominate now.
Ooh.
Brock of the Week.
We kind of started to talk about him a little bit earlier, but it's Sterling Shepard. My Brock the last time I did one was AJ Green. He went for 26 points. I am more than confident Shep is not going to have a good week against Seattle. He's really like the only guy Eli is probably going to feel comfortable throwing to, and that obviously means that the Seahawks are going to know that he's really the only guy they have to key in on. And somehow the Giants ran the ball against Denver. I don't see him being able to do that again against Seattle. So for Fronick starting Sterling Shepard, he is my Brock of the Week.
I agree with you 100%.
Nice. All right.
And that's not even me trying to be subjective as like a Seahawks fan. I just 100% agree. I'm also really, really upset that I didn't get Darkwa.
You got another segment? I got one more.
Yeah, I got For Real or Pharrell.
Okay.
I'm going to throw at you. Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I think he was my Rock of the Week last week. I think this is about the time that like the R words generally start to like turn things around, like kind of a slow start, and now they get a slightly more favorable schedule down the stretch. I'm gonna say Pharrell because I think Cousins is gonna start to realize that he's gonna play for a big contract again, knowing that R words can't franchise tag him, and he'll be a legit free agent and probably end up just signing in San Francisco like we all thought he would anyways. I'm going to call Pharrell on that one.
All righty. I agree with you. Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he was one of my For Real Pharrells too. Can I pass? Because I legit don't know. I want to say Pharrell because I just think it was like a blip on the radar. Like for some reason they just were like, all right, run. And he's like, good, that's what I wanted to do.
Pent up aggression of 6 weeks just coming out on the field.
Yeah. I really don't think he's going to consistently rush for 100. Maybe he gets like 75 in a score this week against the Rams. I don't know. I'm going to say Ferrell on that one.
Alrighty. I want to say Ferrell, but just the fact that he got put into an offense where he wasn't splitting time.
Yeah.
I want to go with Ferrell, but I almost want to say for real, but I'm also pissed because I had him up until 2 weeks ago and dropped him. Obviously the Saints weren't doing anything with him.
Yeah.
And then he gets picked up. And when he got picked, like when that trade happened, I immediately went to the waiver wire. I was like, please let me get him back. And obviously it didn't happen.
Right.
But, that was just heartbreaking to watch, even in a week where I didn't need the points. But again, going back to the running situation being dynamic, the fact that I drafted him and, or did I draft him? I think I drafted
him. You did. Yeah, you did draft him.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's just like, of all the people I kept on my team that I drafted that were garbage, like, what's crushing even more is the people that I dropped, and namely Adrian Peterson. So, out of spite, I'm going to say Ferrell.
Yeah, that's fair. My last segment here, I got a catching feels.
It's guy love between two guys.
Catching feels.
It's back to Fronik's team, Jerick McKinnon. It's the guy you turned down in one of the trades. He's gone off the past 2 weeks for 23 and 22 points since Dalvin Cook's gone down. Touchdowns in both week, as well as he's got one through the air. I honestly cannot believe that when he went, like, when Cooks went down, that Jordan put a 50 burger on Latavius for his Bahubucks. And McKinnon was only five. I mean, that's Jesus. Nothing. That's just like, let me just put money in case somebody else bid zero. Wow. He's a really good running back to pick up for that amount this late into the season for a guy who's going to be Minnesota's number one. That is, that's a really good pickup for Fronik there.
I have some slight analysis for you.
Okay.
I had a which is me dropping Adrian Peterson, and that's it for that segment.
Yep.
What are the chances, actually, Pitt playing Aaron Rodgers for 18 points and 0.7 points?
For playing him? That,
yeah, it's a matchup-changing week.
Oh yeah. Points. That is, that's got to be super frustrating, because to lose Aaron Rodgers, like, everybody's team is going to suck, but to lose the Tim's team or Luke's team, who, like, had playing, like, a bunch of backups and guys that, like, you probably shouldn't start, and you basically lose by the amount that Aaron Rodgers probably would have put up, that is extremely shitty.
Yeah. So, matchup changing for sure, season changing, pretty nuts.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of Pip and his trade, we have actually a don't trade me, bro. Wait.
Ooh, I think you're actually on the same wavelength as me because I have that as well.
Okay. So don't trade me, bro. We have Pip, Doriel Green Eggs, and Beckham trading CJ Anderson and Dante Moncrief to Tim Chick-fil-A J Green Burrito for Duke Johnson and Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Don't trade
me, bro. Don't
trade.
So we have heard from both players so far this week. They sent in their audio. So let's go ahead and hear from them now as we bring on Pip's analysis on the trade.
Hello, Rick, and all the league members of the Semi-Pro Ducks from Chicago Midway International Airport. I am here to talk about my recent trade with Tim Thompson. Had to make a trade, basically. Aaron Rodgers obviously got injured, so I needed a quarterback. The waiver wire was really, really thin, so I needed a quarterback. So I looked at Tim's team, who I've been trying to make a deal with for a lot of the season. Thankfully, I haven't, because I was going after Amari Cooper. But he had two good quarterbacks, and we came together with a deal there pretty quick. I sent him a trade. He sent me one back. And then I sent him one, and he was like, I need a receiver. So then I said, okay, I'll give you Moncrief. Giving up Moncrief, not too worried about T.Y.'s the number one guy in Indianapolis. And then also giving up C.J. Just wasn't very happy with how Denver's been using him recently. They kind of struggle on offense, and when they do, they don't use him as much. And shocker, they lose when they don't use him as much. So I need to give up a big name, I guess, to get some equal parts. And I like, everybody knows I like receiving running backs, which is what I can get with Duke Johnson. I can just fill him in at my flex. And then also Carson Wentz, obviously, put him in at quarterback. So my team's worse than it was a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to have to start fighting here now that I'm 2-4. Things just haven't gone my way the last couple weeks, and I'm going to be fighting for that sixth playoff spot. I have the most points scored against me, and that's pretty shitty. So, yeah, had to make a deal to get me back in this league. Thankfully, I wasn't really paying attention this weekend, because I would have been pretty pissed off if I had to actually watch and follow what happened. So, yeah, everything went well in Ohio, too. So, bye!
All right, that was Pip, and now here's Tim's thoughts on the trade.
All right, so I think the trade worked out really well for both me and Pip. In terms of Pip, he obviously got a quarterback that he really needed with Aaron Rodgers being out. He really wanted Kirk Cousins, but Cousins is someone I really didn't want to give up. He's been really good the past few games, and I still have Terrell Pryor on the team, and if Pryor ever steps it up, I would like to keep that quarterback-receiver tandem on my team. I noticed that Pip has two Eagle receivers, so I thought that Wentz would be somebody he's interested in. In terms of my team, I'm really happy with what the Saints are doing with Alvin Kamara. He's clearly the running back number two now with Adrian Peterson now on the Cardinals, and I really like what they're doing with him. He gets a lot of pass catching. Drew Brees seems to really like throwing the ball to him, and he's becoming more and more a part of that offense. And DeMarco Murray still has a bye coming up, and so C.J. Anderson kind of can fill that void. C.J. Anderson already had his bye week, and so that was a big part of it for me. Is looking at the bye weeks, looking at who's coming up, because I need to win, you know, almost every week going in at this point if I'm going to have any shot at making that sixth spot. And I really needed receiver depth. Cooper and Pryor and Martavis Bryant, all three have not worked out. Moncrief is not lighting it up, obviously, but I feel like Jacoby Brissett is continuing to improve as the weeks go on. And with Luck hopefully coming back, that's going to really up Moncrief's value. So it was hard to give up Wentz and hard to give up Duke Johnson, but Wentz is probably going to be on my bench for most of the rest of the season with Cousins already having his bye week done. So I feel like it worked out for me getting a 2-for-1 and hopefully adding some depth to my receiving core. And Pip, I think he came out on top getting a good quarterback that can hopefully fill that void for him for Aaron Rodgers. So I think we're both coming out happy in this one.
All right, so there we go. Those we're hearing from both of the guys on that one. I think Tim made a good move to get a running back, and his wide receivers definitely need some help. Moncrief plays a lot better when Luke is out there, or Andrew Luck is out there. And Andrew Luck just keeps having like setback after setback. So I'm uncertain at this point if Luck is even going to play. What do you think of the trade here, Duncan?
I think Pitt won this one big time. I don't really like Tim's move here. I don't think he really made his team that much better. Kind of like to Pip's point, I don't like the way that the Broncos have been using C.J. Anderson this year. I mean, Duke Johnson averages 11.6 points a game. C.J. Anderson, because of a big game, 11.5. But then you look at Carson Wentz, who's putting up 20.1, and I'll get into, I realize this is slanted here, points a game, and Dante Moncrief puts up 6.3. So collectively, if you just look at the net gain, Pitt gets a net gain of 31.7 points a game. Tim gains 17.9 points a game. Now, granted, it's obviously a wide receiver and a running back here for a quarterback, and quarterbacks put up more. I like Carson Wentz better than Kirk Cousins, so I don't think he made his team that much better. He's sitting Dante Moncrief right now, so he's not even starting him. Yeah. And like I said, I don't really like C.J. Anderson very much. So I don't feel like he made his team that much better. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Wentz has been, like, sneaky good this year. Like, he is the number four fantasy quarterback at this point. And I think Philly have maybe kind of figured things out. He does have some schedule issues late. He plays at Seattle, at L.A., and then at the New York Giants weeks 13 through 15, which is right about playoff season. And I think those are going to be three tough matchups for the Eagles if Pip is able to get back into the playoff hunt, which he always seems to end up back there. I don't know. I think it's a fair trade. I think I'm going to talk to Brandon a little bit more about how they're going to use C.J. Anderson in the future because his use has gone down a lot. Like Pip said, when they don't use him a lot, they end up losing. So maybe they re-game plan or maybe they just don't want to use him anymore. Dookie Johnson, I think, was a weird running back to pick up. If I was Pip and you're looking for a pass catcher, I maybe would have gone for Kamara instead. So I don't know. I think it's a pretty fair balance trade for both sides. Definitely a move that Pip needed to make, losing Aaron Rodgers. So pretty fair, pretty balanced. I think it'll work out probably okay for both teams, and Pip really, I mean, he really needed the quarterback help, and I don't know anybody who's got multiple QBs that would be willing to give one up at this point in the season.
Right. Yeah, I totally think Pip won the trade, like I said, and because my thing too is if you look at CJ Anderson, take away week two, and he's averaging maybe 7 points or 8 points or something like that, which granted is better than most of my running backs, so I can't really hate that much, but I mean, outside of his 28-point week, he put up 9, 5, 13, which is solid, and 1.7.
Yeah. The 1.7 is the bad one, too, because, I mean, obviously, like, 9 carries for 17 yards is pretty horrible. No receptions when the past, you know, the 2 weeks before, previous to their bye, he had 6 receptions for, like, 20 yards. So, yeah, I mean, if the Broncos realize that their game plan is that they're going to use him more, then I think that plays out to Tim's advantage because he'll get a solid RB2 behind DeMarco. And I think he's probably going to hold on hope that Cooper and Pryor end up turning things around. Maybe Luck comes back and that makes Doncrief a reasonable play. But, I mean, you're getting to the point where you've got to make a move for guys that'll help you win now as opposed to later because we've only got 6 weeks before the playoffs start. So it's going to be tough to make up ground.
Yeah, and being that we're all sitting here at the bottom of the standings, I think that's why it was a huge win on Pip's part. Is, I mean, as far as winning the next, like, 4 to 6 weeks, he set himself up really nicely. And I think just Tim's schedule or team became a lot more iffy. Like you said, there's a lot of variables that are going to play into whether or not C.J. Anderson and Dante Moncrief actually start producing.
Yeah. All right, Duncan, I think that just about does it for us. Really appreciate you getting onto the pod for the first time this year. Lots of good info and insight on your team. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. It was a good time.
No problem. And good luck in your matchup this week.
Thank you. You as well.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone.
We welcome back now to the pod, a tribute to the late, great Tom Petty. We welcome back Brandon, our world traveler, Denver Broncos insider, and one of maybe three people that were actually upset the U.S. men's national team didn't qualify for the World Cup. It's Brandon of TCBY Hilton. How's it going, Brandon?
Man, that Team USA thing really threw me through a loop. It was a tough day. I was like trying to explain to Luke how bad it was, and he didn't get it.
Yeah, I figured maybe Pip as well, but he was off to Ohio, so I figured he actually didn't care. But we've both had really bad weeks. So you had the USMNT get not qualified for the World Cup. The Broncos lost, the Ducks lost, and Arsenal lost. So I thought it was really going to be worse than me because I had the same thing happen where also the Falcons lost and Everton drew. So I think my week was actually better than yours.
Yeah, man, you got a point. That's a result. So, congrats.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take it, I guess. I don't know. Things aren't going well on the Everton front either.
Should we just turn this into a soccer podcast? Do you think Luke still listen?
I think Luke's probably already turned it off at this point just at the thought. He's probably driving over to try, he's stopping now. But sticking Let's get started with these matchups, and we're starting off with Pip, Doriel Green Eggs, and Beckham taking on Scott, the Cleveland Hash Browns. Pip is back atop the FP rankings with a second place score of 99, I believe. Scott has the 12th place spot with the lowest score I have ever seen, but it's one he's going to be happy about. He has a 69.2 12th place finish, 16 points behind Tim, who is in 11th. He failed to break 55 points last week. He's now taking on Pip's 2-4 team, looking to bounce back from losing Aaron Rodgers for the season. He's a 24-point favorite. So big question for this week, does Scott get into the 60s?
Oh, man. That's such a nice pro football pro rating. Well, so the thing about Scooter's team is that he still doesn't have a receiver in for Nick Hopkins. So
right.
It probably won't be that bad, but just looking at his team is like legitimately depressing. And you can kind of tell, like hearing him talk about it on the pod last week, you can really tell that he's kind of like his ship has sailed on this one.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of a downer. If only they, you know what they should do is they should make fantasy football, but you get to redraft every week.
What? Will never catch on.
Has anyone thought of that? We'll have to look into it.
Do you know how much money we would have to waste, like, constantly traveling and renting, like, cabins in the woods every single weekend to draft?
Draft every week. Ugh. We'd run out of places.
Oh, my goodness. I'd go broke.
It'd be a nightmare. But, yeah, diving into the matchup here, I personally, if I was Scott, I think I would just tank, try and get that number one pick next year, you know?
He had the number one pick this year. It hasn't worked out for him.
Maybe I'm wrong. Scott's team has just really been a big downer. Every single one of his players, I'm pretty sure, is either injured or is an injury replacement other than Gurley. And I guess Hopkins hasn't been hurt yet either. But, like, Jay Stu's hurt. Derek was obviously hurt and still is kind of struggling. Willie Snead was hurt and had a DUI. Jeremy Macklin's hurt. Andre Ellington's pretty much a replacement and is hurt. So I guess Brandon Crate is kind of good.
Yeah, Brandon Crate, Todd Gurley, and DeAndre Hopkins have been the only bright spots for Scott's team.
Yeah, it's tough. I also was pretty sure that Giorgio Tavecchio was a character in Backyard Sports, but I'm 100% certain. But I guess he finally grew up. What was that guy's name? That's going to bug me now. I'll look it up later. But, I don't know. I feel like even once, because even you look at Scott's bench and he doesn't even have anyone he can sub in for DeAndre Hopkins, who is, you know, not going to be bad.
Right.
You know, like his,
I think Sanu's going to play.
Okay. Well, that's an option.
That's one.
That's one. But, it's just kind of tough to look at Scott's team. I honestly, if I was him, I don't know if I'd still be playing Derek Carr. He just hasn't looked good. That offense, something's up with that offense. I don't know what, but I think Kansas City, that defense is legitimately good. And Derek Carr is already in that zone where I just worry about him getting hurt again. So, which is kind of just sad. You know, he seems like a nice guy, although he does kind of spell his name like an asshole, which I don't really love. So it's kind of a shame. But on the brighter side of things, Pitt's team looks all right. He rebounded well from that Aaron Rodgers situation. Wentz is pretty solid. Wentz is one of those guys where I've never actually thought he's good, but he's consistently good week in and week out, you know?
Right.
So I think he'll be all right. I think he'll do okay. He kind of is one of those quarterbacks, too, where he'll run enough to get you like 4 or 5, you know, like a little, just some cheap points on the ground. And then if he keeps putting up touchdowns like he has been, that's a really solid replacement for losing Rodgers and what he basically gave up. He basically gave up C.J. Anderson for that, but got Duke Johnson back. So, you know, even C.J. Anderson's kind of going into a bit of a split backfield situation with Devonta Booker coming back. And so I don't really mind that trade for Pitt.
Yeah, I was going to ask, as our Broncos insider, because we did the full don't trade me bro with Duncan, but the one thing remaining was, like, what's going on with C.J. Anderson in that backfield? So, like, is it a committee situation, or has Anderson basically, like, lost the starting job and Pip dumped him at just the right time?
He's definitely still the starter, but the thing about the Broncos is it's just a bad offense, you know? And it's tough when your quarterback is pretty much a random guy off the street. I was like excited when Brock came in last week, which was depressing. So I didn't like love that feeling. But I just, I don't know, I think Simeon was good for a minute, but he is exactly what he is. And if you have any defense that has, you know, any corner that can prevent separation by the receivers and get pressure on him, if you can get pressure on him with four down, he's not a good quarterback. You know, all these like advanced stats basically say that. I think his QB rating when he's a little bonus analysis for you guys. I think his QB rating when he's not pressured is like 103. But his QB rating when he's under pressure is like in the 30s, which I don't remember what the exact number is, but I'm pretty sure like throwing an incompletion is like about a 30 for QB rating. Like if you're 0 for 1 for no, for like, and that's your only pass, I think you get a 30 on QB rating. So I think that's just what it comes down to for them. And so I guess who are the Broncos playing? Wow, we got really sidetracked on this one, but
that's fine.
the Broncos are playing what? The Chargers, the Clippers this week?
Yeah, they got the Clips.
It'll be Joey Bosa against Manelik Watson, who's Manelik Watson's been really bad. So I don't know. Joey Bosa could do really good, and if so facto, it was a good trade for Pitt.
Okay, I'm glad we got that. Glad we got that cleared up. Then
back to square one. but yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this matchup here?
I mean, yeah, like any team that loses Aaron Rodgers, no matter how good or bad your team was, like you're taking a huge step back. I think this really opens up Pip's weak spot at wide receiver. Nelson Agholor was a really good pickup, I thought, especially when he outpaid Luke for him last week.
Always a good sign when you outpay Luke for someone.
Right, because he does bid low, so it's not like it's crazy hard or anything. But I like Mike Evans and Dez Bryant have both been serviceable. Dez is the number 27 receiver. Evans doing what he should as like a number 12. Andy's already had his bye, so you don't have to like worry about that or anything. Well, and so is Dez. So never mind. That doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, Pip's got like a crazy strong team. And Scott doesn't. I think Scott breaks the 60 barrier this week, but I think Pip wins it easy.
I'm definitely cheering for Scott, but I just, when you just do the math, like it doesn't, you think who all will score points for his team?
Yeah.
And you basically need, you need Derek Carr to have three touchdowns. You need Gurley to basically go 200 yards and two touchdowns.
At least.
I really hate to say it. You know, RIP and peace to the all-time great, but I think Jay Stu's on the other side of the hill.
Yeah.
And he's kind of beat up. He had that negative four-yard gain last week, and that's just like, you have to be like a good run. Like, most running backs who have a negative four-yard gain just won't play again. And so luckily Jay Stu is like, you know, he's been around for a while. Obviously they will keep around, but you know, if he keeps, I think he's at like 2.7 yards per carry, which is just really, really subpar. And so it's tough, especially when you spent the eighth overall pick or whatever they did on McCaffrey, and it's tough to kind of keep giving the carries to your old guy when you have, you know, this new cool toy that you could be playing with. So honestly, I think Scott's best bet here is to hope DeAndre Hopkins gets traded to a different team that doesn't have a bye week. And then he might have a chance. But, yeah, I don't know. And even the Packers' defense, I don't know. Got a lot of questions about Scott. I hope he's just all in on fantasy basketball. I hope that's what's happening.
Yeah. But, I mean, you got to hope, like, basketball's better at least.
Find out. I've got Pip in this one pretty easily. But yeah, I can't even say you don't know what to expect in fantasy football because you kind of do in this situation.
For this matchup, I think we all know Pip is gonna get the win. Next matchup up, it is myself, JSIE Berries. I'm taking on Luke team. I'm thinking Arby's. I got the number one fantasy pro spot with a 100 this week. Luke not too far behind with a 93. Mark Ingram and Leonard Fournette carry my team to victory, getting the second highest score of the week, while Luke overcomes not playing really any good running backs as a byproduct of having to trade for Antonio Brown. He somehow gets Zeke back, who is basically Schrodinger's suspension, and we get the top two teams in the league, both 5-1. Brandon, what are you seeing in this one?
This matchup should be flexed to primetime, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. This is kind of the big match for the week, which is really definitely exciting to watch. Glad to be on the pod. Glad to be talking about it. It really means a lot that he brought me on here. But yeah, you know, this is just two good teams on both sides of the ball here. Starting from the top of quarterbacks, I think Alex Smith will bounce back this week. That was kind of tough for that whole, I don't know if you watched much of that game last week, but it was just kind of a really bizarre, nonsensical game. And there's something about that Steelers-Chiefs matchup. The Chiefs just don't know what they're doing against the Steelers. I wonder if it's like a color thing. They just don't like black and yellow, perhaps. I could see it. But they've just been really bad against them for like a long time now. And so I wasn't surprised to see Alex Smith struggle a bit last week. But I think he'll bounce back this week. I kind of think they're going to show off a bit in primetime against that Raiders defense I feel like I always go back to the same thing, but can you name a player on the Raiders defense other than Khalil Mack? Because I don't know.
The guy who was on the Seahawks. Bruce Irvin.
There we go. Got one.
That's tough.
You just think about that Raiders defense, and they basically have three guys to cover, right? You've got Tyreek, you're going to have Kareem Hunt, and you're going to have Travis Kelce. And I just don't know who's going to be guarding any of them, essentially. I don't know if they have any players one-on-one who can keep up with any of those three guys. And Alex Smith is, he's just kind of, he runs the show there. So I think he could have a really good week. But, Matt Ryan, he could end up having like a 25-point lead against the Patriots or something. So it could kind of go both ways here.
Wow. It was nice having you on. That'll wrap things up there.
it is an interesting matchup for you though. With, the whole, you're going to be, the step inside Rick's head for this weekend is going to be very interesting. It's going to be a crazy play.
I knew when I was, like, targeting Cooks in the draft, I was like, oh, fuck, I've got that one week where I'm going to have to, like, root for him against the Falcons. And then, of course, it happens, like, the one week where I'm playing Luke where I actually need every single one of my guys to, like, have a huge week. And, yeah. Ugh.
And you're just going against Matt Ryan.
Yeah. So,
like, every, I don't know, I mean, at least you're on the better side of that bargain where you have, because, it's unfortunate when you have the QB and the person you're going against has the receiver, because the receiver yards count more. So yeah. And they get a half point for the catch. So at least you're on the good side of that bargain.
If fucking Sark stops picking his nose in the box and decides to actually like give Julio Jones the ball. Like, I know he's leading the Falcons in targets and yards, but it doesn't feel like it because he disappears for entire halves of the game. Like he doesn't show up.
Doesn't he only have one red zone target all year?
Probably. He doesn't get targeted in the red zone either. That has been a problem for like 4 or 5 years now. Is like they get into the red zone and they don't go to Julio Jones, who is a fucking monster. Throw him a goddamn fade.
There are a lot of things about the NFL that don't make any sense. It's just kind of how it is. But like the fact that Julio Jones doesn't get the ball thrown to him every single time they're in the red zone is just literally nonsensical. Like you can. If you just, like, not to bring up bad memories, but that catch he made in the Super Bowl is literally the most athletic play I think I've ever seen. And, like, that's, they just don't give him opportunities to make those plays.
That play is forgotten now.
I understand it.
You, me, and probably, like, 9 other Falcon fans that didn't commit suicide after the Super Bowl, like, remember that catch and how great it was. And everything else is wiped out because Edelman picked the ball up off the fucking turf and the Falcons blew the lead. Like, that's all gets remembered.
Edelman catch was stupid. I don't know. There are like 3 people listening to this podcast who can make that Edelman catch, and there's maybe one other person in planet Earth who makes that Julio Jones catch.
Right through fucking Ricardo Allen's hands, or Robert Alford's hands. God damn it. I'm already like on Wednesday night reliving through the Super Bowl, and I'm fucking pissed about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough Sunday night for you, man. And the fact that there are also fantasy implications,
I hope it's out of reach by like Sunday night. Like I hope because Luke's got Matt Ryan playing Sunday night, and that's it. So I'm hoping like he's up by like 45 or 50, and I don't even have to worry about Zach Ertz like maybe putting in like the greatest tight end performance of all time on Monday to save me.
Yeah.
Like I want it to be over.
Or ideally, you're up by 50. Could go both ways.
That's the positive spin. Thanks for like keeping it for me that way. But I know if somebody's up by 50, it's probably going to be Luke.
Yeah, unfortunately enough. Yeah, I mean, you guys seem like you have a lot of players going against each other this week, which is always kind of, and you have a lot of you have the other side of the coin where you have Alex Smith throwing to Travis Kelce. So it's kind of going to be tricky. And then you have a bunch of players going against the Ravens, and Luke has the Ravens defense. So it's just kind of fun little, I guess you only have Feline.
Yeah.
I was in my little notes. I kind of feel like Feline could get the most targets of any of the receivers in this matchup, which is pretty a wacky thought. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Diggs, if he's going to play or not.
I thought he was still out, but okay. I'm unsure.
If he's out, then Thielen is, again, he's going to have he had 13 targets last week or something like that. So, yeah, I could use a big week out of him for sure.
Yeah, it'd be nice. He's sneaky good. So I guess just to kind of get back to go full circle here, Luke's team, when you look at it, like, obviously it's a very good team and stuff, but it doesn't, like, you feel like that he's one bad performance away from just having, like, a really, like, eventually he could have a bad week, right? And I don't know when it's going to happen, but, like, you got to figure that, it's just annoying that he has, his three receivers are just really good. Like, he doesn't have a single backup receiver, but all three of the ones he has are really good.
Yep.
I'm still so upset about Duncan for that trade. Oh, man, that's whatever. I was, like, legitimately angry for, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah, I guess future you, when you listen to the first half of the pod, you'll hear the analysis on Hogan and Cooks, which is some incredible stats there. And Duncan goes, like, super deep into, like, other offers he got. So future you will maybe get into the mind of Duncan, but that's still, like, that's a frustratingly annoying trade that you would make to Luke, of all people.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's just the fact that it's to Luke. But, hey, you know, if Duncan's happy with it, I don't know. I mean, what, Hogan had, like, 4 points last week, and Tevin Coleman had, like, 12, so we'll see what happens. Well,
Not even that bad, because Antonio, I mean, he would have had Odell Beckham in the place of Antonio Brown, who's just as good, so his receivers would still be incredible.
Yeah, but I just wanted an Odell Beckham injury to actually, like, be a problem for Luke, and it just wasn't at all. So, it's great. And it keeps getting freaking Zeke unsuspended, which is so frustrating.
That's fucking annoying.
It's so irritating. And it's just, like, every single week. And then, of course, freaking Duncan goes and posts that thing, and then literally 24 hours later, it's like, Zeke not suspended. It's like, well, good. Glad that totally landed. But anyways, back to the matchup.
Yeah.
I do think Zeke's going to do well against the Niners again. I think Armistead is either out or questionable. And you got to feel like he's definitely important on that run defense for the Niners. And then Joe Mixon, they're coming off a bye week. You can definitely kind of spin this idea that they've been spending a bye week getting him more involved in the offense. You could definitely see it, but that Pittsburgh defense is kind of rude. Like, they're just a bunch of mean guys. And James Harrison, somehow, who's 7 million years old and still, like, posts those videos of him bench pressing, like, a bus. Just like, okay.
In so, like, a full sweatsuit, too. Because, yeah, God forbid, he work out in, like, a t-shirt.
No, obviously. Why would you? That'd be foolish. Honestly, I actually think DT could have a bad week. There's something about, and this is, like, such, like, hearsay and such, like, bad analysis and all, but there's something about whenever I expect Demaryius Thomas to be good, he's just really not good. And so you'd think this week Broncos are going at the Chargers, who have, like, a pretty average defense. Well, I guess Verrett's healthy, right? So he'll probably shadow DT. I don't know. I mean, it's Demaryius is going to be, like, the best. He's going to be, by a long shot, their only target this week. But I don't know. I could see the entire defense just focusing on him and forcing Simeon to make other players have good games. And I'm just not really sure that Demaryius is good enough to really, like, you know, to basically be better than a 2-on-1, essentially, which I think is what he's going to be facing all week.
Right.
So that'll be tricky. And then Devontae, he gets a ton of targets, but all those targets come from Jay Cutler. And so, you know.
He also didn't practice today, which is not a great sign for Wednesday with the game on Sunday. So might be out another game. I don't know. But
who's going to play if he doesn't have?
He still has Taylor Gabriel, which is, ooh, I mean, that's a stretch play, really.
Yeah, especially if Sanu's back.
Yeah.
Man, how mad are you going to be if you freaking lose in fantasy? Actually, I guess you'd be happy, but like a long Taylor Gabriel, like garbage time touchdown. When the Falcons are down by 3 scores.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My fantasy team, like, I pretty much blew up Jordan's team for the second year in a row because last year Julio went for 300 yards against Jordan's team. And like, so last week I had a really good week and I felt like shit the whole day because the Falcons lost, it blew another big lead again, you know, in the second half. You know, stay on brand, buddies.
That was gross.
God. So I don't know. I would take a Falcons win because I'm expecting a fantasy loss. So yeah, like Taylor Gabriel, please go for like an 85 yard touchdown to end the game or something.
Perfect. I mean, I think the only other weak spot on Luke's lineup is I don't really know what to expect from Jabarius Allen. That Minnesota defense is good. The Baltimore offense is bad. So I just kind of feel like that will be a low-scoring game. And it's probably not going to matter. I don't mind your John Brown play, though. But that game being in London is always so bizarre.
Oh, that's a London game?
Yeah, it's a London regular time game. Yeah. How annoying is that?
I thought it was weird that the Rams, I was like, wait, the Rams are playing in L.A. at 10 o'clock? Like, that's weird. O'clock. Like, no one's going to do that. That's a London
brunch game.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's a London night game. So, night game in Wembley. Not ideal. I feel like everyone assumes everything about all these London games, and you just never really freaking know. And so, John Brown's been really good. It's weird. It's nice and weird for him because he's a wide receiver too, but the wide receiver one is a slot receiver. So John Brown just gets deep targets all day.
Right.
He's definitely like a high variance type of player, but that's kind of the type of guy you need to play against a solid team like Luke. So, I think that's a good call.
I just don't trust Jamison Crowder. Like he's been horrible.
Yeah. Jamison Crowder is just not good. So, unfortunate, but
he's the number 99 receiver. He should not be on my roster.
Yeah, probably not. But gotta do what you gotta do. You know what I'm actually cheering for more than pretty much anything is like Justin Tucker to have 8 field goals, and then Luke loses due to kickers, and then just never plays fantasy football ever again. So, but we'll see. I mean, it's playing indoors.
That is true.
Do we have like a 10-point bonus if he breaks the record for the longest field goal? Because he might just go for like a 70-yarder. You never know.
I played in a league like a couple years ago with some guys back when I worked at in the EMU on campus, and they had a weird thing where like if your guy got like X number of receptions or X number of yards, like you got a bonus like 5 points on top of it.
Like 100-yard bonus.
Yeah, okay. And I was just like, no, like let these rules are too dumb. Like I can't do any more of this.
Yeah, it's just weird when, like, 1 yard will get you 5 points, essentially, what you get to. It's like, oh, that's silly. But, I don't know. You're favored in this one, so there's that. But, I think I'm going to pick your team, Rick. I think you're looking all right. I think I prefer your running back matchups. I think Fournette against Indiana is, like, that's shooting fish in a barrel. Have you seen any of, like, the analysis for him? They do they basically do like the MLB Statcast, but for the NFL. And I guess Leonard Fournette has the two, they just track how fast people run at all times.
Right.
I guess those two long Fournette touchdowns he's had are the two fastest recorded speeds of any player all year.
Wow.
He's like a genuine freak, which is so cool. And I love watching it. There was like, I don't know how much of that game you watched last week, but there was about like a minute and a half where everyone thought he was injured. And
yeah,
literally the whole Jacksonville stadium was just silent. It was absurd.
Well, it was terrible because the red zone guy was like, I do believe that Fournette might have hyperextended his knee right there. There it bends over. He's questionable to return. That could be a knee hyperextension. I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I can't play James White like the rest of the year and hope that Mark Ingram goes for 30 every week. Like, I'm gonna have to sell my soul to Scott to get Todd Gurley, and then they're like, oh, it's a sprain. He'll return in a series.
Yeah, that's I feel like they did that. Did you watch the Cavs game last night? They did that with LeBron. It was like LeBron James is down, and he like jogged back into the screen. It's like, guys, we can't do this. It's just really. But I think I'm actually gonna pick you. I think you've got slightly better matchups, and I think that I think Luke has been relying on I think I'd mostly just want Luke to lose for one, but I think Demarius won't do very well. I think Kelsey could finally have a bad week, you know?
Yeah.
And then trusting Joe Mixon as your RB2, I'm just not 100% sure. Like, I just wouldn't really trust anyone on that Cincinnati offense. So, I don't know. Is Marvin Lewis still their coach? Is he still around?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
That's amazing. Good for him. What about job security?
Yeah.
Being average for 10 years.
Good for him. I mean, as long as you get to keep, you make a playoff appearance like once a blue moon, like yeah, that'll work in Cincinnati.
You're good, man. Yeah, you're good.
Luke's won 5 in a row since he lost week 1 by 0.3 points, where he was just a DT reception away from essentially being undefeated. He replaces Odell with AB. He still has Zeke. Like, I know my team is good, and like, I feel really bad when I come on here and I'm hosting and all I do is like bitch about my team and how like I don't see my best player score and like boohoo or whatever. And I don't know how people are like taking to that, but I'm sure it doesn't sound great from my part.
Rick, it's content. So think about the content. That's
yeah,
all that
that's true. I don't know. I just like, there's something about like playing Luke's team. Like if I have like a couple favorable matchups here or there, I don't know. They're like, Julio still hasn't gotten to the end zone. I don't trust like New England playing against Atlanta again. I feel like Cooks probably goes off, but I mean, probably Gronk does in like a different matchup or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just don't think I've got what it takes this week to take down Luke. So
Luke's gonna like sub in Deion Lewis for the night game, and Deion Lewis is gonna have 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's what's gonna happen.
To our last matchup of the week, Brandon TCBY Hilton is taking on Mike in Team Indomicon Soup. Brandon, you come in at 10th with an 85.5 on the FP scale, while Mike is 6th at 90. Mike also struggled last week with a very bad 57 score, and you came out on the losing end of your matchup after a brutal Monday Night Football game saw DeMarco Murray and Matthews outscore T.Y. Hilton, but you are still 4-2, so what are you seeing in your matchup this week?
Dude, I think I've been like bottom 10. I think I've been no higher than 10th in that little fantasy pro score thing. That's fake news.
You had a couple weeks early where you were at the top.
Where I was okay. Let's see. Let me move some things around here. Get some stuff pulled up. I have a million tabs open, but not this matchup. Not like it matters. When I saw Mike's score from last week, I thought I was reading that wrong. that's like such a low number. That's like very, very hard to do. I don't really mind my matchup this week. I think it's going to be another really close one, which I'm like preemptively annoyed about. Because it was just like not fun on Monday night this week.
Yeah, that can't have been fun.
It's just not, I don't know. It's just like you have a hard time. That game was especially hard because I basically had the two Titans, and so I was going against the two, or no, sorry, I had the two Colts, and I was going against the two Titans, and so like I was cheering for Marcus, but also like it was bad. It was really weird for my mental state. But flash forward to this week, I don't really mind many of my matchups this week. I think Dak could do really well against the Niners. Russell going against the Giants, like I know the Giants isn't bad and stuff, but it would just be so obviously like Giants-y for them to come back and like win this game and shut down Russell Wilson and stuff.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, those West Coast teams flying all the way across the country is always interesting. They're going to be playing in New York, which means there's a chance that like Future will be at the game, which is bad for Russell Wilson. So I just don't know. But at least it's an afternoon game, so that'll be kind of helpful. Time change, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that. I'm definitely worried about Devonta in the night game. I just don't think I'll ever believe that the pass defense is bad. Like, I know they are bad and have been bad all year, but I still feel like they could just shut down Devonta Freeman, which is just like the friggin' worst. I can't stand the Pats.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's something concerning. Ajayi's been getting, you know, so many touches, and obviously the Jets aren't very good, but I don't know. They're like, I feel like the only thing the Jets have is like a decent front seven, but even that is questionable. So I don't really know what to make of Ajayi. I feel like he gets like 24 carries a week and hasn't had, like, has he had a game more than 12 points? He's had two.
Yeah, so I guess 2 weeks.
Man, he had 26 carries last week. That's amazing.
Both times he hits over like 120, and he gets over 26 carries are his two big weeks. So
wow, no touchdowns. Oh, Miami remains the lone team in the league without a rushing touchdown.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, fun fact. I bet you he gets a rushing touchdown this week. but on the plus side, I do think I think my RB2 is much better than LeGarrette. I just don't really see – that offense makes no sense to me. I feel like they give the ball off to – it's like a running back freaking Rubik's Cube, and they just, like, choose a different side every time. And so I think LeGarrette will get a bunch of carries if they're up in that game, but I don't know if I trust Philly to do that. I think Washington's actually kind of good, and their offense can score a lot. So I could definitely see – I could definitely see Philly coming from behind, in which case I don't think LeGarrette gets the ball quite as much. And but, you know, you kind of reverse that for McCaffrey. I could see Carolina being up pretty big early against Chicago, in which case you're not going to throw to him as much. So kind of go both ways there. I freaking hate T.Y. Hilton against Jacksonville. Like, if Sanders was not hurt, I'd probably consider benching T.Y. this week. I just freaking, those Jacksonville corners are so, so good. And Jacoby Brissett is just not that good.
Yeah.
Which is just tough. So if only I could have, maybe I should have drafted AJ Green.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. Next year.
Yeah, but then you don't have the guy you named your team after on your team. Yeah, so, like, what's the point?
I'd have to have a new team name, which just, there's no possible team name involving the word green. I cannot think of one.
It not simply can't be done.
Not one.
It's impossible.
It would not be done. I know Michael Thomas is good, but I feel like I haven't seen a highlight of his since Ohio State, which is just, like, very odd considering he's on that Saints offense and they score a trillion points. So I could definitely, like, I imagine all that will come back and bite me in the ass because I'm, like, talking trash about a player. But, I think Mike's got a good team, honestly. The one thing that I was kind of noticing here is that if Josh Norman's back, which I – kind of fingers crossed that he might be, then I think he'll be shadowing Alshon. And I think Josh, I don't know, I've never really loved Josh Norman, but I think he's a pretty good corner. And so if he's shadowing Alshon, I don't really think Wentz will go that way, which would definitely be huge for me. But outside of that, like, Tyreek Hill is always really scary. He just, like, could score six different ways, which is always very concerning. And, you know, like I was mentioning in your guys' matchup, like, there's no one on that Oakland defense who could probably touch Tyreek Hill in an open field, which is just really kind of worrying. So I don't know what to make of that one. And the fact that I'm starting Jermaine Kearse is just, like, super not ideal. But I guess that's what happens when bye weeks happen and injuries happen. So kind of fingers crossed. Hey, go Jets, you know, why not? Yikes. But yeah, I noticed Jimmy Graham against the Giants, like, the Giants have given up a touchdown to a tight end every single week this year. So I don't imagine that's going to stop. And, of course, he has Wilson as well, so that would be, you know, doubly unenjoyable when that happens. I don't know what to do with Martellus Bennett. Like, it's just bad. I hate how he's just, like, a good player who just doesn't get the ball. That's very frustrating to me. But
yeah, what can you do? With Rodgers out, it's probably unlikely that he gets the ball more. So,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe, he's there. They have Hundley? Is he their backup?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe he likes tight ends. I just feel like Rodgers just doesn't like tight ends, which I've never really understood. But and they always just have, like, three on the field.
Yeah.
I think from my perspective, this will just come down to whether or not Gillisley is being outcast by the Patriots this week. He had that one fumble last week, and I, like, legitimately was just knew right then that I was probably going to lose in fantasy last week, because it's just, the Pats are like one of those teams. I think what the R words are the same way, where like if you fumble once, you're just like, you don't touch the ball ever again. Which is just really, like, I get it, whatever. It's like, remember the Titans, obviously, but it's just annoying to see. And I just, Gillisley and Marty Bennett, I kind of feel like are in the same boat, where they're just really talented players who just aren't going to get the ball enough, just due to circumstance. So I could definitely – I think Jimmy Graham will outscore Marty. I think Devin Funchess, he's better than I want to admit. And that, like, there's no one on Chicago's defense. So, it's so easy to talk yourself out of your own team. I think I'm my favorite in this matchup too, which is funny. I'm, like, really depressed.
No. It is, no, okay, it is soup good. Now. I think you made the Gillisley for Max switch, and it went from like 1.9 to 0.9 now. Okay. So it's basically a pick 'em.
I want to start Max, but I don't know if I can.
That was my only question. Like for both teams, was the flex is because if I'm Mike, I would probably start Ty Montgomery because I think he's gonna get a lot more carries. Against New Orleans defense, which is just not good against the run and not good in general. Not to mention he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then, yeah, the Gillisley-Mack situation for you is not a great one, considering just like what's been going on with Gillisley since week one, where it's just gotten worse. And Mack kind of on the up and up, but still it's like the Frank Gore show in Indy. So, I mean, for me, like whoever takes the flex spot, I think ends up taking this one.
Yeah, totally. I'm optimistic about Mac. They had that Turbin guy's out for the year, and so he was kind of a catching back. And so I thought Mac was just really, really good. Like, that was the reason I spent way too much money on him. But he's just one of those players who jumped off the screen when I watched him for the first time. So definitely, totally a smart idea to just spend a bunch of money on a player that you've seen once. That always works out well, right? But I don't know. I'm definitely tempted to start him this week, but what a frustrating activity that we do every week. Just trying to decide.
If only this was fun, right?
Yeah, if only this was enjoyable. I'm pretty excited about that Saints defense you were just trashing. They've had 12 points. They had 15 points last week, but before that they were bad. Wow, they only had one fancy point against Chicago. God, fancy defenses are the weirdest thing. I just clicked on the wrong thing. Oh, that's really weird. That was defenses versus the Packers.
Yeah. That was the week Aaron Rodgers went off on Thursday night.
Yeah, okay, no, the Saints defense has been good. That's what I thought. They've had double-digit points the last 3 weeks that they've played.
Just not the first 2 weeks, though.
Yeah.
Just ignore that.
Going against Brent Hundley, I don't know. I'll take it.
That's fair.
So I'm excited about that. And then Zerline kicking in London, man. So, you know, he'll get – there's that joke again that we didn't land the last time we were doing this podcast. But it's out there somewhere. I think I'm going to pick Mike. I think this could be over on Thursday night. I can see, like, a Chiefs defensive touchdown and three Tyreek Hill scores. And then like, Crabtree not getting a touchdown. And all of a sudden, I have a free weekend where I don't have to watch football. So,
yeah.
Get rid of him. Yeah.
I didn't pick anybody in this matchup. I will pick your team to win just because you've got Devontae Freeman, and I want him to do well. And I feel like you've kind of talked yourself into playing Marlon Mack over Gillisley, and he's a Patriot, so fuck him. I'll take your team here.
Love it. Good unbiased analysis.
Yeah, thank you. What segments do you want to kick off here? I've only got two.
You go first. Mine we've kind of already touched on briefly.
Okay.
But
I've got a couple yeah dudes here.
Oh, yeah, dude.
One of them, the first one, is to the judge in the Ezekiel Elliott case. just yeah, dude. I mean,
yeah, dude.
Like, you're on vacation. You pick now to go on vacation, and I don't know the whole legal, like, what everything that went behind it, but, like, you're taking a vacation and you have to wait 2 weeks to actually get a final verdict, so Zeke gets to play for two more weeks after the week before you were told he was suspended and you weren't on vacation and you could have made a ruling? Just come on. Like, I hope you don't enjoy your vacation. Like, if you want somebody tropical, I hope it's windy and it's raining.
So. Yeah, dude.
Who goes for a vacation in October? Anyways, it's a bad time for a vacation. I literally, like, God, is that not the most freaking Luke thing of all time? Zeke gets to play 2 more weeks because the dude's freaking on vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
My second, speaking of Luke, my second yeah dude actually goes out to Luke.
Yeah, dude.
He's big on offering trades. We know about this. But, I mean, he sent me a trade for Leonard Fournette and Adam Thielen the same week that I'm playing him. And, I mean, I'm probably not going to trade those two guys to you anyways, especially for what you offered back. And I'm definitely not going to do it the week we're playing each other. Like, you should probably know that by now. So those are my last two segments of the week here.
Oh, but I'm sure they were totally fair offers, and Luke just gets people just make people just hate the fact that he always wins, so they just assume all his trade offers are bad.
Yeah, that's it. That's probably it.
Yeah, that's definitely what it was. That's definitely what it was. The only segment I came up with was the Aaron pain in my arse, which is just to the Patriots as an entire organization.
So yeah, that's very fair.
I figured we kind of have like a shared shared thing here where it's just, God, freaking like, I don't know. I like Gillespie's like their best running back, and he just never gets the ball. And man, I don't. It's frustrating.
I know.
It's just like
it's annoying.
It's just like the whole NFL doesn't care about my fantasy team. Yeah. Isn't like I don't understand I don't get it. I just don't get it.
It's annoying. The NFL hates all fantasy leagues, and we keep playing, and we haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, we really do keep playing.
God.
Man.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. Thanks for coming on the pod, Brandon. Appreciate your insight and allowing me to bitch about the Patriots pretty much for 45 minutes now.
Therapy, Rick. So that's where it helps both of us.
Yeah, for sure. Best of luck this week to you, man. That's going to do it for this week's pod. Thank you all so much for listening. You can hear more of me this Friday night. I will be on the call for the Bismarck High School Game of the Week on KUGN News Talk 590. This week's game is between the Marist Spartans and the Springfield Millers. Springfield got blown out last week to Churchill, but they did show some promise late in that one. And the Spartans are going to be without their leading passer and rusher, Rio Jackson. So this is going to be a tight matchup. Be sure to tune in to KUGN 590 AM if you're in Eugene, or KUGN.com anywhere else in the world to hear Tim Thompson and myself on the call. Thank you again, everyone, for listening to this week's podcast, and best of luck to you in your matchup this week.